Praise the Lord and good evening, everyone. Praise the Lord and good evening, everyone. This is Bishop Horace Michael. It is my pleasure tonight to come to you and share with you what thus saith the Lord out of the eternal word of God, and to go before the throne of grace with the petitions and the intercessions of the wonderful people of God. We love him tonight. And I'm so excited about the word. I want to jump right into it. Let's bow our heads in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, in the matchless name of Jesus Christ, we love you and we thank you. We bless your name for watching over us throughout this day, where we've turned down our plates to humble our hearts, to hear your voice, to be in your presence, and to bask in that blessing. We love you tonight and we thank you for even allowing us to come together to study your word. You told us, Lord God, that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of your mouth. And so tonight we've come together because we choose to live. We want to live by your word. And we know that your word is a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our pathway. And if we would trust your word, we would see your power. Hey, glory to God. And so tonight, allow faith to be kindled, allow faith to be strengthened, allow faith to come ablaze as we hear your word and receive it into our hearts, that we might not sin against you. Transform us by the renewing of our mind. Strengthen us and embolden us by the word taking root in our spirit. In the name of Jesus Christ, bless all those that will be with us tonight on this live, and bless those that will listen to this recording, that they may be strengthened by your word. We commit all things into your hands in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, and amen. God bless you. This is the first Tuesday of the new month. We're in December, the last month of 2021. Can you believe it? My goodness, it seemed as if we just got into 2021, and here we are now at the last month of this year. We thank and praise God for his mercy toward us. Let's jump right in. You know how I want to share with you my heart as it is that God has placed this burden and this love, this joy to share the word of God with you. And he says in his word out of Jeremiah 3:15, and I will give you shepherds according to my own heart who will feed you knowledge and understanding. I want you to understand, as it says, even in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17, that all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. But this is not just for the man of God. This is for all of us. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15 is a very familiar passage of scripture. It's often used in the context of Bible study for those that will commit to the spirit of discipleship, not just to be a follower, but to be a disciple. There's a big difference between people that follow you, that follow Jesus, and people that are disciples of Jesus. Disciples study to show themselves approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And it is important to understand that true disciples, they don't follow for the fanciness of it. They don't follow for the fad of it. They follow for the transformation. They follow to be more like. They follow because they want to be like this person. And this person we're talking about today and forever is nobody but Jesus. And so as you seek to do this and to embody this and to allow this to be a practice of your life, Colossians chapter 3, verse 16 speaks to us all and says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to God. And so not only do we find the power of God's word when it is spoken, either through teaching or preaching, but there's a rich anointing on the word of God, even as it is sung. Hymns, psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts unto God. So this brings me to our lesson for tonight. We bless the name of God and thank him. Last week, we talked about the presence of God, understanding the power of God consciousness, not only of being aware of God, but even more importantly, allowing God to dwell on the inside, to have the Spirit of God dwelling on the inside. And so tonight, the Lord dealt with me. Last few weeks, we talked about his presence. And I think that that was actually a springboard to what he wants me to share with you tonight, because tonight we're going to talk about the peace of God, the peace of God. The basis or the key verse for the lesson tonight is Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 through 8, which brings me now to the to opening this up for those that are on the line to share in the reading. And so please make sure that you put in the chat in Zoom that you want to volunteer. I need volunteers to read tonight so that I don't have to do all the work. Praise the name of God. Amen. Dr. Selena Marbury, amen. Our key verse for tonight's lesson, the lesson is the peace of God. And I want to underscore a bit for you as to why this is important, because the foundation of this lesson being the being conscious of God, the presence of God, gives us faith and assurance. And it helps us to understand that no matter what we face, that God is with us. This presence, the presence of God, he's not just there filling space. He's not just there occupying a spot. His presence does something for us. And this is one of the most powerful things about the presence of God. There's so many rich things, so many transformative ideas and points to share concerning the presence of God. Thou wilt show me the path of life, in thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. The presence of God, powerful, powerful, powerful. But I want you to move into this realm where you take that presence and turn it into power. Take that presence and turn it into power. And one of those aspects of turning that, of understanding how to apply the presence of God, is to understand that it is a part of his peace. It is a part of the peace of God. And so let's dive in. Much to share. Our first reader, Dr. Marbury, tonight, let's take it and let's read Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 through 8. Let's go.
Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things.
Thank you very much, Sister Marbury. What I want you to understand is that when we talk about the peace of God, it doesn't mean that this is going to be the absence of all drama, the absence of all issues. There won't be any problems. You're just going to have a wonderful life. The sun is going to be shining all the time. You're going to feel the warmth of the sun on your face all the time. You're never going to be with a problem in your life. You're never going to deal with the issues of not having enough food or being, concerned about supplies of the staples of life. And, you're always going to have money flowing out of your pockets. You're always going to have friends patting you on your back. You're always going to have people screaming out your name and cheering you on. Well, yeah, that sounds all well and good, but that's not the reality of life. But Paul has the audacity to speak to the Philippian saints and tell them not to worry about anything. He says, stuff is going to happen, but don't worry about it. Life is going to happen, but don't worry about it. Every day will not be Sunday, but don't worry about it. And in light of that, in everything, approach it with prayer. Approach it with your request, supplication, to be a supplicant, or to provide supplication, or to go through supplication. It means to make a request. So all things by prayer. Prayer talks about the communication with God. And so let's understand, prayer is not just me asking God. Prayer can be me spending time with God. Come on, somebody. I'm feeling something happening on this line already. Sometimes you just need to spend time with God. Just tell him how wonderful he is. Just sing to him. Sing to God. You know, prayer is communication. And communication can come in more than one form. Sometimes we think that prayer, the only time we need to pray is when we have a problem. Far be it the case that when we our relationship with God is not only an issue of him being like a mechanic, auto mechanic, or a doctor, or someone to fix a computer. You know, we only go to them when we have a need. Oh, no, by no means. He wants relationship. And so prayer talks about it's the portal, it's the opening for relationship with God. My God, this is why, and this is how, even a person who doesn't have the Holy Spirit can engage in a relationship with God, because prayer is open to all. This is how the sinner can become a saint. If we couldn't talk to God until we got the Holy Ghost, none of us would be able to talk to God, because we were born in sin. But Paul is saying here, in everything, by prayer, communication, supplication, making your requests, but do it with the spirit of thanksgiving. Understand, God wants to hear from you. He doesn't have a problem with you making requests, but come to him with praise. Don't just come to him with your problem. Come to him with your praise. And Paul is saying this posture of understanding the realities of life, but not living in worry. You know, sometimes we bring sickness to our own body through worry. We being, you know, migraines, neck pain, shoulder pains, anxiety attacks, because we allow worry to rule in our hearts. And Paul is saying to this group of spirit-filled believers that there ought to be a difference when you have God in your life. When you are filled with the Spirit, there's a difference there. And I think this is even why the last couple of lessons were the foundation for tonight's lesson, because we need to understand the presence of God. And so he says, the peace of God in verse 7, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. That word keep means to secure, to protect, to preserve. And so God's peace has the power to protect. God's peace, glory to God, has the power to preserve. His peace protects us. It's a shield for us. Glory to God. I feel the Holy Ghost on this line. His peace is a shield. His peace strengthens us. It undergirds us, our hearts and minds. This is not just a thing about the spirit. His peace affects the total man. It affects what I think about, what I meditate about, what's important in my life. Oh my God. And so Paul, he starts by saying, stop worrying. Don't worry. If you're worrying, stop. If you're not worrying, don't go to worry, because those that worry don't pray, and those that pray don't worry. And so he says, don't worry about anything, but pray. So you can write that down for verse 6. Those that pray don't worry, and those that worry don't pray. Verse 6 talks about prayer and releasing anxiety from your spirit. Don't be careful. Don't even let it in. Once you let it go, don't let it back. Hallelujah. Once you let it go, don't let it back. The peace of God. So once you get that anxiety out, allow the peace of God to come into your hearts. It's beyond comprehension. God's peace is phenomenal. If you've ever experienced God's peace, you know what I'm talking about. And I'm going to give you an example. When we were going in for the kidney transplant, Lady Michael and myself, and I was giving her one of my kidneys 20 years ago, when we went to the hospital that morning, it was really, really early, the crack of dawn. You know, it's dark out. The sun hadn't even risen yet. And so they were preparing me. They prepared her, they were preparing me. And after we, I changed, I went into the, I was wheeled into the operating room, taken into the operating room, got on the operating table. And before I got into the operating room, you know, the attendant asked me, you know, how do I feel? Are you okay? You know, are you a little nervous? I said, no. And it was like the kind of no, not the nervous no. It was like, no, no, it's, you know, it was, I had such a peace that it felt like it was not going to be anything more different than me getting up from a table and going to get a piece of bread or going to the refrigerator and getting something to drink. It just felt like it was, there was no anxiety at all. I wasn't concerned about the doctors because we prayed about it before we got there. I wasn't concerned about the operation itself because we prayed before we got there. I wasn't concerned about whether I was going to live or whether I was going to die. No, I mean, we did take care of making sure that our will was in order. Amen, somebody. You got to have a will, saints. You know, you got to have a will. You don't want the state to have any control over your assets in the event that you pass, because that can make a big mess for your family after you're gone. Have a will. Sometimes you don't even think you have enough to have a will. Better to have it than don't need it, than to need it and don't have it. We had a will in place. Everything was in order. We put things, you know, we took care of what we needed to take care of, and we put the rest in the hands of God. And I was not nervous one bit. Went into the operating room. They put the anesthesia, you know, gave me the mask to be able to, you know, inhale the anesthesia, count backwards from 10 to 1. By the time I got to 2 or 3, I think I was out. But it was a complete peace, no worry, no fear. And what Paul is saying in verse 8 is that what you need to understand is that you do have to train yourself. You have to practice the peace of God. And this is a beautiful thing. Verse 8 talks to us about how to practice the peace of God. Practice it by learning what to put your mind on. You don't have to think about everything. As a matter of fact, you can't. You cannot think about everything. You cannot. It's not possible. You can think about some stuff. You can think about certain things, but you can't possibly think about everything. So don't stop, you know, just stop worrying. Think about the things that are true, things that are honest, things that are just, things that are pure, things that are lovely, things that are of good report. If there be any virtue, if there's any value, any substance to it, if there's anything that's praiseworthy of, things that can bring a smile to your face, think on these things. And I'm not saying that what Paul is suggesting to us is to ignore the realities of life. He's just teaching us by the Holy Spirit how we overcome the challenges that are a part of that thing called life. And so let's dig into the peace of God. Okay. Most of Paul's letters begin with the words, grace and peace be multiplied unto you from God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. You read that when you go through his epistles, you'll see that there. When we talk about peace, so his introduction to the saints is an introduction of peace. No matter what he writes to them, no matter what he says to them, he greets them with these words, grace and peace. Peace is a state of tranquility or quietness of spirit that transcends circumstances. And what that means essentially is that circumstances don't have to change for you to have the peace of God. God's peace breaks through the darkness of difficult times. It breaks through the silence of lonely times. It breaks through the noise of times of confusion. His peace is above all of it. The quietness that he brings to our spirit is so powerful that it can drown out the noise of the enemy. Lord, have mercy. Whew. The term peace is described in scripture as a gift from God, and it's in line with his character. This we're going to dig into this a little bit deeper because I want you to understand that the peace of God is a part of the Holy Ghost experience. And to understand the Holy Ghost experience, it takes us back to the cross. Whatever we have in the Holy Ghost, it's because of what Jesus provided for us at the cross. We can never lose sight of the centrality and the importance of Jesus as it relates to our salvation. And we can never lose our understanding of how powerful the cross is to that whole situation, the theology of the cross, if you will, the theology of the cross. You can never allow, don't ever let yourself lose sight of the theology of the cross. If there was no cross, there would be no Christ. Christ is the Messiah. That's another word for Messiah, the Christ of God, the Messiah. And so when we talk about Calvary, we talk about deliverance, we talk about freedom, we talk about redemption, we talk about righteousness, we talk about peace. Praise the name of God. And so let's understand the gift of God, eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord, peace is in the package. Come on, somebody. Oh, God, let me get on through here. God's peace is available to all who place their trust. Again, this is where the centrality of the cross or the theology of the cross comes into play. Let's get to Hebrews chapter 13, verse 20. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 20. Can I get a reader for that? Just come on and read. When you see verses pop up, just realize that I'm about to ask somebody to do some reading. Praise the name of God. Hebrews chapter number 13, verse 20. All right, my daughter, Sandra. All right, sweetheart. No, you got to find it. So when you see a verse pop up like that, you got to have your Bible open. I don't know if you have your Bible open. You have it, sweetheart? Can't unmute. Okay. I'm going to ask our administrators to jump in there and unmute Sandra Michael. What's the scripture, please? Hebrews chapter 13, verse 20. Hebrews 13, verse 20. All right, maybe we need to come back. Okay, I'm going to ask somebody else to jump in. She might have the kids in her arms, and that's holding her up a little bit. And I get somebody else to volunteer. Hebrews chapter 13, verse number 20.
I got it. Sorry.
Oh, okay.
What does it matter, the version?
Preferably King James.
Okay. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 20, it says, "Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant."
Okay, there's more to that, but I want you to understand that Jesus has done something for us. And I think I actually have this verse later on in the presentation. The God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant. So this, you got to understand, this peace is ours only through what Jesus did on the cross. If Jesus did not go to the cross of Calvary, we would not have God's peace. And so if you want this peace, you've got to accept Jesus. Jesus did the work to take the stress and the strain and the struggle and give you salvation. The struggle for peace, when you put your trust in the Lord, it takes the struggle out of your heart. I'm not talking about not being a diligent worker. I know that, you know, we gotta get on our grind. We gotta work. The Bible says if a person doesn't work, they don't eat. So I'm not talking about being lazy, but I'm talking about being carefree. Let's go on. The peace of God. So I need some readers to get ready. We got John chapter 14, verse 27. and 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2. Need to get some people queued up for that. And also, we might as well get you ready with James chapter 4, verse 8. That's St. John chapter 14, verse 27, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2, and James chapter 4, verse 8. To know Jesus, K-N-O-W. To know Jesus, K-N-O-W, is to know peace. If there is no Jesus, N-O, then there is no peace. To know Jesus, K-N-O-W, is to know peace, K-N-O-W. But if there is no Jesus, there is no peace. Let's get into the word. I need some readers. John chapter 14, verse 28. Nope, not 28, 27. Sister Lynette, verse 27, dear. You can take that. No problem. And then I need a reader for 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2. I see that we've got James chapter 4, verse 8. Great. Let's get 2 Peter, Sister Claudia. Wonderful. Okay, so let's jump in. St. John's Gospel, chapter 14, verse 27. Let's go.
Look, praise the Lord. You guys can hear me?
Yes.
Look good. God bless. Peace. Okay, I'm sorry. St. John, chapter 14, verse 27 in the King James Version. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Amen.
Amen. Amen. You have to understand, again, as we said, this is a peace that is made possible to us through what Christ has done. And when Jesus is speaking to his disciples and to those that will follow him, that will pattern. When I say follow, I'd like to use that as synonymous with the idea of pattern, patterning after. True discipleship is to pattern after Jesus. You can put that in your notes. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. So we got a couple things going on here. First of all, we're letting Jesus saying, I'm going to give you this peace. The peace that I'm going to give you is going to be different. Not only is it going to be different, it's my peace. This is what makes it different. And this is powerful beyond words, because think about it. What makes Jesus worry? Nothing. There's nothing that worries Jesus. Jesus ain't worrying about nothing. And he's saying, I'm going to give you that same quality to not worry about a thing. Some people think it's not possible to live life without worry. I tell you it is. It doesn't mean that you're not conscious of things. It doesn't mean that you're not aware of it. It doesn't even mean that you have lost any sensitivity toward it. It does mean that you're not worried about it. Back in the day, you know, a couple of years ago, I guess more than a couple of years ago, there was a saying that was very popular. Don't worry, be happy. And then, of course, you know, for those that are that remember the Lion King, there was Hakuna Matata, you know. And so there have been in society a number of dispositions or phrases that speak about the idea of living a worry-free life. Now, if a sinner can talk about living worry-free, how much more the spirit-filled believer, the child of God? Because the truth of the matter is, again, if there is N-O Jesus, there really is N-O peace. That's a false sense of security if you don't have Christ in your life. Because at the end of the day, it's all about Jesus. He says, I give it to you, not that the world gives. Because the way that the world gives stuff is like, you know, if you're cool, then you can get it. If we're not cool, then not only will you not get it, but if you got it, it's going to be taken away. And so that spirit, the spirit of the world, the way the world gives, the way the world recognizes, the way the world acknowledges, or the way the world turns its back on individuals or misuses or abuses, Jesus said, no, that's not how I'm going to do it. That's, I'm not going to do it like that. I'm going to do it in such a way that it's done. And check this out. Jesus doesn't have to keep giving peace. He gave it one time. You have to learn how to receive it. I hope you got that. Sometimes people say, Lord, give me your peace. Give me your peace. You're praying the wrong prayer. Jesus already said, I gave it to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Now, I know that Paul talks about grace and peace be multiplied unto you. But it's not that God is multiplying it. It's that the people that he's talking to, he wants them to understand it. I want this to be something that you understand. I want you to grasp the peace. It's not that everything that God has for us is in its done state. Anything coming to us from God, it's in its done state. Even your salvation is complete. We are learning to walk in the liberty of it, in the benefit of it. Everything about the Holy Ghost in you is a finished work. It's done. You're not going to get no more Holy Ghost than you have. What's going to change, what's going to mature, what's going to evolve is your understanding of it and how you walk in it. Life in the Holy Spirit is this process. It's life in the Holy Spirit. It's not the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is everything it's going to be. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. I got to move on. Let's go to 2 Peter. Amen. Sister Claudia. Uh-oh. Maybe she can't unmute. I need the admins to jump in.
Thank you. 2 Peter 1, verse 2 says, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as, should I continue?
Nope.
Okay. Nope. Yeah. There ended the second verse.
Amen. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge. Okay, so this is what we were talking about when we talk about the fact that this is, that this peace of God, you become more aware of it. You become more aligned to it. You become more reposed to rest in it. And it's through the knowledge of God and of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is your knowledge that will grow and increase, which will result in your ability to take advantage of this incredible blessing called the peace of God. Amen. That's exactly the verse that I wanted you to hear. It's not that it's going to happen. It's not getting better on God's side. It's getting better on your side. And it's getting better because you are growing. Your growth makes your experience in the Holy Ghost better. There's a song that we were saying, every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. See, the day is an experience. It's not that Jesus gets better. It's that the experience of your life improves as you walk with God. And it's not that God gets better. It's that you understand more. You trust him more. Your faith increases. My God, I feel the Holy Ghost on this line tonight. I don't know who this lesson is for tonight, but there is somebody on this line that needs to learn how to release it into the hands of God so you can enjoy his peace. Let's go on. James chapter 4, verse 8. The closer we draw to him, here he goes again, the closer we draw to him, the more of his peace we can enjoy. And I need somebody to get ready with Colossians chapter 3, verse 2. But let's take a look at this number 6 point. Again, the closer we draw to him, the more of his peace we can enjoy. You can't appreciate God at a distance. God is not like that. God is looking for the up close and personal experience. Somebody, I think we've got Sister Tinley, James chapter 4, verse 8. God bless you.
Amen. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded.
You've got to understand that when we talk about getting closer to God, the whole idea here is appropriating salvation. And what I mean by appropriating salvation, it's understanding repentance, baptism in the water, and baptism by the Holy Spirit. This is the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. Nobody has a market on the Holy Spirit. Nobody has an exclusive on the knowledge of God. You want to know about God? It's right here in the book. Glory to God. It's right here in the book. Whatever you need to know about God, it's in the book. It's his word. And his word, it's contained in pages. It's bound in a book. It's an electronic format, but it is a living book. Glory to God. It gives life to whoever will approach it with faith and the spirit of obedience. You have to come to him by faith and with the spirit of obedience. And this book, the Biblos, glory to God, will come alive in your life. This is the imperative. The closer you draw to him, the more of his peace you can enjoy. You cannot enjoy this at a distance. Let's go. Number seven, certain attitudes can destroy the peace of God. And this is talking about the application of it or the benefit of it. Of course, it can't take away God's peace. Nothing can take away God's peace. Praise the Lord. Nothing at all. But your attitude will affect the benefit. It will affect your experience. When we equate trust with the assumption that God will give us whatever we want, we are setting ourselves up to be disappointed. Because sometimes God doesn't give you what you want. He'll give you what you need. And so this talks about reprioritization. Come on, somebody. Lord, have mercy. Reprioritization. Let's go to Colossians chapter 3, verse 2. And while we get somebody to read that, we want to get Proverbs chapter 3, verses 4 and 6 queued up. Colossians chapter 3, verse 2. Thank you.
Set your affection on things above and not on things on earth.
It's important. And I think that it's so simple that it's like, you know, you might have been waiting to hear more about, you know, what else is in that verse? Is there more? This is a big statement here. Certain attitudes can destroy the peace of God, blah, blah, blah. Okay, well, what does the word say about it? Well, set your affection on things above and not on things on the earth, period, full stop. It's about understanding reprioritization. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, then all these other things will be added. Jesus says, you know, listen, you can't add anything to your life by worrying. You can't add a thing. You can't add height to your body. You can't change your body. You can't lose weight by worrying. You can't get muscle tone by worrying. You can't do nothing by worrying except deteriorate yourself. And so set your affections. See, now, where you set your affections, where you set your focus, that's where your heart's going to be. Wherever your affections are, that's where your heart's going to be. That's where your commitment is going to be. That's where your focus is going to be. And Paul is telling the saints at Colossae, to focus on God. Focus on God. If you put your focus on God, he'll take care of everything else. You put your focus on God and everything else will come into focus. Lord have mercy. I'm going to say that one more time. Some of the times people are walking and they can't see clearly. They're in a fog. Things are not connecting. Things are not clicking. You put your focus on God and everything else will come into focus. You will see them as they are. You will see them for what they are. Oh, God. The peace of God will help you to have revelation knowledge because you're not acting in anxiety. When you're anxious, you can't think straight. And God wants to speak to you. He wants to speak to your heart. He wants you to hear his word. And I want you to understand that God has favor for your life. He's not trying to destroy you. He's got good things in store for you. And so number eight, trust means we set our hearts to believe God. Whatever may happen, when we insist on being in control, we sabotage God's desire to let us live in peace. God is asking us to chill out, to chillax. When we choose worry rather than faith, we can't live in peace. You've got to understand, there's a choice. Peace is now a choice because of what Jesus has done. If Jesus didn't go to the cross and die for our sins, peace would not be an option. It would not be an option. Peace is an option because Jesus paid it all. Oh, God, let's jump in. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 4 through 6. And then I need somebody to get ready with 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7. Proverbs now, please.
Sister, hello? Oh, yes. Sorry. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. I'm ready. Sorry about that. I'm ready. Okay. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 4 through 6 in the King James Version. So shalt thou find a favor. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Amen.
Amen. And I wanted to throw in that verse 4 because I want you to understand that when you put God first, it's going to affect your life. Sometimes people think that, you know, we live one way when we're dealing with the saints and we live another way when we're, you know, not at church. Well, we're in a situation now in this pandemic where, you know, a lot of times, for the most part, we have not been in the church building. So let's understand that the Lord is not going to bless you just when you're in the church. The blessings of the Lord that make rich and add no sorrow are not limited in its operation to a church building. Woe would we be, woe unto us if that was the case. God's goodness and mercy, come on now, do I have a witness? Follows me all the days of my, it follows me. Goodness and mercy follows me. And this is the favor of God. This is understanding that God will allow me to have in my life. And this is why I want you to understand the multifaceted benefit of salvation. It's not just limited to walking in the Spirit. It's not just limited to my relationship or my activity in the church. It affects me in school. It affects me at home. It affects me on the job. The salvation plan that God offers us is a full package deal. It's a full package deal. And so we are admonished through the wisdom of Solomon to trust in the Lord with everything about us, everything in my heart. Give him complete trust. Put your complete trust. Put all your eggs in this basket. Trust the Lord with all your heart. And don't even give your own understanding an opportunity to derail you from what God's word says. You can't outthink God. You can't outthink him and you can't overthink him. What happens when worry comes in is that you are underthinking God. Are you with me? You cannot overthink him. You can't outthink him. But when you walk in worry, you are underthinking him. In other words, you are thinking less of him. And that's a problem. That's a problem. When you put worry over God, that's a problem. He cannot direct you if you don't trust him. And so I think this is another reason why this lesson is so important tonight, because God wants you to trust him. Everybody that's listening to me, he wants you to trust. He wants you to trust him. Because point number nine, worry is the enemy of peace. It is the enemy of peace. And Satan wants to rob you of your peace. Let's go to 1 Peter, Sister Marbury, Dr. Marbury. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse number 7, please.
Cast all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you.
Thank you. You've got to understand if it's, you know, on the one hand is God, on the other hand is Satan. On the one hand is God, on the other hand is Satan. Who are you going to trust? God offers peace. Satan offers worry. John chapter 10, verse 10 says, the thief cometh not but for to kill, to steal, and to destroy. Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. I'm going to run through these verses because I want you to get this in your spirit. Okay, volunteer readers, come on, because right now we've already touched on this. Go ahead.
Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, my brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things.
Amen. That's Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 through 8. Okay, let's go on. I need some snappy readers. Come on through here.
St. John's chapter 16, verse 33. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world.
My God. And this, what we're doing now, I want to put the word in your ears. I want to put the word in your mouth. This reading is not in vain. Every time you speak this word, something is going to happen. It's going to resonate. It's going to register. It's going to work. Hey, Yarabu Shanda. Woo, go ahead. Somebody got Colossians chapter 3, verse 14 through 15. The next one. Okay, Sister Marbury, you've got that.
And above all things, putting on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful.
I want you to understand, Jesus has already faced everything you are facing or you will face. Can I say that one more time? Jesus has already faced everything you're facing or will face. He's already faced it. And he says, in the world, you're going to have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've handled it. I've handled it. You know, when somebody, when you're talking to somebody about some problems and say, oh, I already took care of that. Or when you talk to somebody about some stuff that's got to get done, you know, you may be talking about a bunch of things. Maybe there's a project that you're working on and there's a number of things got to get done. And the person that you're working with says, oh, I took care of that already. Oh, I took care of that already. Oh, I took care of that already. Oh, that's done. I took care of that already. I want you to put yourself in the position where you're the one talking about the challenges that you're facing. And Jesus is saying to you, oh, I already took care of that already. Oh, took care of that one too. Mm-hmm. I overcame that one too. Can you feel the presence of God? Whew. Paul is talking to us about the power of love. The word charity is love. And oftentimes, this is talking about our relationship with God. how that God commended his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Epistle of John says, beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. We shall see him as he is. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called the children of God. This love theme, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. This love theme, you know, love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. This love theme permeates the scriptures. And it is the bond of soundness, of wholeness. And when you can begin to appreciate the love of God and respond to it. See, you can't just think about God's love. You got to respond to it. Come on, somebody. You got to respond to it. And when you respond to it, it brings healing. His love, God's love, has healing virtue. It has healing. It brings soundness to every aspect of our lives. And Paul says, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you have been called into one body, and be thankful. I'm not worrying about a thing when I put it in God's hands. I'm not worried about nothing. Hey, nothing. I'm not worried about nothing. I need somebody to jump in here. These readers, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23. I think Sister Lynette's got that. And then 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. Sister Lynette, you got 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23.
Yes, sir. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. The very God of peace. So God, peace is a part of him. It's him. He's peace. Because his love, he's love. And his love, peace is connected to love. And so the very God of peace, this is a very powerful statement, because Jesus said, my peace I give unto you. And when we connect this 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23 verse with the verse we read earlier, that Jesus said, my peace I give unto you, you need to understand a little theological issue here. And the theological issue here is the fact that Jesus and God are one. We're not talking about two different entities with two different kinds of peace. Oh, no, my friend, Jesus and God are one. Praise the name of God. And so Paul is just saying here, I want you to understand that it is the God of peace who will sanctify you. Holy, he'll sanctify us. To be sanctified means to be set apart. He will set and to be set apart for special use, for divine purpose, for God works. And I want you to make a note of this in this. When you make your note about 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23, I want you to put a note there that he set me apart for God works of God, God works. And what's powerful about this is that you can't do God works without God. You can't do the big stuff without the big man. Come on, somebody. My God. The big man is in the house. The big man. God is the big man. God is the man. God is the, you know, he's the one calling the shots. He's the one that sits upon the circle of the earth. The heavens is his throne. The earth is his footstool. Ain't nobody like our God. Absolutely awesome, working miracles all the time. And it is this God, the very God of peace, that will set you apart for his purposes completely, your spirit, soul, and body. every aspect of you to be preserved blameless. And this goes back to the peace. His peace protects us. Of course, we're going to go through experiences of life. Of course, we're going to have experiences that we're not going to like. Of course, there's nothing you can do about that. And sometimes it is the most egregious, most horrific, most, you know, damnable and disgusting, demonic. Oh my God, the devil is trying to destroy us. He's trying to destroy us. He's not playing games. Neither are we. God's peace is an armor for us. It's a protection. And it's a part of the purpose of God to do a complete work. Peace is a part of the complete work that God is doing on us to preserve us blameless. Blameless. I mean, this is mind-blowing, the peace of God. And it's operating for us. His peace is working for us. His peace is working. Let's go on. I got to get through this so we can get to the prayer. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 1 through 2, please. Need a reader, quick.
Hello?
Yep.
Okay. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 through 2. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. Hope I pronounced it right.
You hit it on the head. Come on in now.
Okay. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Amen.
Again, you know, Peter is taking us to a place where we understand that what God has done for us through Christ is not something that came up at the last minute. Salvation was not a last minute plan. Salvation is the ultimate plan. Salvation was not a last minute plan. It was and is God's ultimate plan. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. God knew us and chose us to be, the election talks about selection, choice, according to the foreknowledge of God, to know before time, to know infinitely before time. So if you're looking on a number line, you're looking, you know, the numbers on the number line go higher when you move from left to right, and they go lower when you move from right to left. So you put time on it, you know, years, you know, year one, year two, year three, year four, year five, and the numbers get bigger as you go from left to right. Well, this is talking about foreknowledge. So you can take this and go from right to left on the timeline. And God elected us way back before time could even be measured. He knew what he was going to do for you, my brother and my sister, and he provided Christ, the Lamb of God, slain before the foundation of the world. This is the plan of God for you, to be saved, to be sanctified by the Holy Spirit, to walk in obedience and to understand the efficacy of the blood of Jesus Christ. Blood was used as a token to set apart items and to make them holy, to make them hallowed. It was indicative of forgiveness, of reconciliation, of selection. And Peter is saying, all of this is for you. Glory to God. And then he says, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Blows the mind, because just when you thought salvation was enough to jump and shout about, Peter is saying, there's more to come. There's more to come. And so I'm going to wrap this up real quick with these last verses. And these verses serve as a bit of a benediction. Woo, my God, my God. And I need two readers. I need somebody else that didn't read tonight. Come on, y'all, unmute so you can read. And I want the prayer leaders to get ready to take us to the throne of grace. Amen. Sister Claudia has got Hebrews. Okay, great. I need somebody else to get Numbers. And again, while we're turning to these passages, Numbers chapter 6, verse 22 through 26, Sister Charisse has got that. Thank you, Sister Charisse Jones. And Hebrews chapter 13, verse 20 and 21. These are prayers that would be prayed or verses that would be used in a benediction at the end of a service where we pronounce the blessing over the people. And so Sister Charisse is going to share with us Numbers chapter 6, verse 22 through 26, and then after that, Sister Claudia will read Hebrews 13, verse 20 and 21.
And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, 23, speak unto Aaron and unto his sons, saying, on this wise ye shall bless the children of Israel, saying unto them, the Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace.
My God, my God, I want you to understand that this was a prayer that Aaron was to pray as the high priest to bless the people of God. I come to let you know that every blessing in the book belongs to the church. Every blessing. Our calling is a heavenly calling, but all the promises of God in Christ are yes and amen. And this blessing, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you, be gracious. This is talking about the relationship. God bless you. That word blesses to prosper you, to increase you, to make you large. Lord have mercy. And who wouldn't serve a God like this? Who wouldn't love a God like this? To bless you and to keep you, to make you large and to protect what he's done in your life. Come on, somebody, to make his face shine upon you and be gracious. That's his disposition and his attitude. You know, that's a smile. That's a smile. That's a smile. That's a God smile. Woo! Lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Speaks about favor. Speaks about favor and peace again. Let's go. This is go to the Hebrew version of this kind of a blessing. Let's go to the New Testament, the New Covenant version of this. Sister Claudia, Hebrews chapter 13, verse 20 through 21, please.
Verse 20 reads, now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen, amen, and amen.
Let's understand the God of peace. This is what Christ rested on when he gave his life for us. He became the sacrifice where he died for us. Under the old covenant, the sheep would die for the shepherd. The sheep would die for the people. Under the new covenant, the shepherd dies for the sheep. We are the sheep. Jesus is the shepherd, the great shepherd of the sheep. And he was comforted even though he was crucified. He was comforted in the knowledge that his father was watching everything. Even though Christ experienced separation, he did that for us. He still recognized God. He did not let the experience cause him to turn his back on God. He cried out, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani," which being interpreted means, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" The conundrum of all conundrums. It was our sin that caused him to taste that experience. And Paul is saying that through that blood of the everlasting covenant, that you understand that God is doing something for us even now. The God of peace, he's perfecting us in everything we go through so that nothing is wasted, no experience is wasted. He perfects us in every good work to do his will, working in us that which is well-pleasing in his sight. He's teaching us, oh, glory to God. He's teaching us through the experience to put him first, not my will, but thy will be done, through the example of Jesus, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. The peace of God. Brothers and sisters, the peace of God. I want you to get this. The peace of God. I want you to learn this. I want you to love this. I want you to experience it. It's time to pray. Our prayer leaders will come at this time. Take us before the throne of grace, interceding on behalf of our men, our women, and our young people, in Jesus' name. Let the prayer leaders come.
Father God, we thank you tonight and we glorify your name, your wonderful and adorable name. Lord, we just praise you right now for your mercy, for your goodness, and for your love. We glorify you right now, because this certainly is the day that you have made, and we will continue to rejoice, hallelujah, and be glad in it. Lord, we just say thank you for another opportunity to come into your presence. Thank you, Lord God, for another opportunity to come and give your name praise. Thank you for another opportunity to come and to learn your word. Thank you for another opportunity to come to your throne, to bow down before you, to sing, to glorify your name. Lord, we just love you tonight. Thank you so much, Lord, for sparing our lives yet once again, Lord, because you didn't have to. Thank you one more time, Lord God, for giving us the breath of life. Thank you, Lord God, one more time for allowing us to be in our right minds, for the activity of our limbs. Lord, we just say thank you tonight for being so very merciful upon our lives, because you didn't have to do it. We could have been roasting and toasting in hell right now, being waiting to be thrown into the lake of fire. But Lord God, your grace and your mercy yet again prevailed. And Lord, we ask you tonight, Lord, to forgive us, Lord God, for those of us, Lord God, that abused our bodies, whether it be through drugs, through immoral acts, through violence, to ourselves or to others, Lord. We ask you, Lord Jesus, to wash us with your precious blood right now. For any filthy communication that came out from out of our mouths, any words that we've said to anyone or to ourselves that brought hurt, pain, despair, we ask you to wash us with your precious blood right now. For any thoughts that we entertained of violence, looking upon someone lustfully, whatever it may be. Yet again, we ask, thank you, Lord, for shedding your precious blood upon Calvary for our sins, that even though they may be a scarlet, Lord, but because of the blood you shed upon Calvary, you make them as white as snow. To be into the sea of forgetfulness to be remembered no more. Only you could do that, Lord God. Only you could cleanse us. Only you can refresh us, make us new again. It's only because of your blood, and we say thank you tonight. Thank you for going to the cross for us, for not thinking it robbery. Thank you for not thinking of yourself, but thinking of us when we didn't deserve it. We say thank you, Lord God, just for being so merciful. If we had 10,000 tongues, we couldn't thank you enough. We couldn't praise you enough. We couldn't glorify you. Hallelujah. So right now, on behalf of the men, I just say thank you, Lord, for continuing to keep us, for continuing to strengthen us, for protecting us from dangers seen and unseen, for keeping our families, for keeping our wives, for keeping our children, for keeping our parents. Lord, we say thank you tonight for your mercy. And it's hard as men sometimes, but you tell us in your word, if we trust you with all our heart and lean not into our own understanding, but in all our ways acknowledge you, that you direct our paths. So help us, Lord, and direct our paths for the time that we have left, Lord, that our path would be to minister to others. Our path would be to take care of our family. Our path would be most of all to worship you, to glorify you, to praise, that our lives, our very lives, would be a reflection of your word. That when people see us, they don't see us, they see you, Lord God. That when people encounter us, they don't hear us, but they hear you, Lord God. That we would pray for people, that we would minister to people, that we would lay hands on the sick and they will recover, Lord. Lord, you've given us the ability through your Holy Spirit to do so, Lord. So help us, Lord, that if we're in a backslidden state, a sinful state, Lord, that you would deliver us, that you would set us free, Lord God. Lord, we need you now more than ever in these last and evil days. We know the rapture is soon to come. We know that you are coming back for your church without spot or wrinkle. And that in the twinkling of an eye, your people, those that accepted you as Lord and Savior, those that have the Holy Spirit, they will be caught up to meet you in the air and reign with you forever. Lord, we want to be in that number, Lord. We want to be in that number, Lord. So continue to help us and to guide us and to keep us, Lord. Lord, we need you. We need you. As men, we need you. We need you. There's so much evil influences in the world, Lord, but we know because of your blood, you protect us. If we allow you to, because you're not going to force us to do anything you don't want us to do. Or rather, you're not going to force us to do anything we don't want to do. So Lord, create in us a clean heart and renew in us a right spirit. Whatever you have to do, Lord, cleanse us. Whatever you have to do, purge us with fire if you must, Lord. But on behalf of the men, Lord, I pray that we are ready to meet you. Lord, we love you tonight. Continue to look upon our bishop, Lord. Continue to strengthen him, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for the word you've given him to minister to us, to teach us, Lord God. We thank you, Lord. Continue to protect him from dangers seen and unseen. Continue to keep your hand upon his family, Lord. Continue to keep your hand upon his mind, Lord God. Continue to keep your hand upon his heart, Lord God. Continue to keep your hand upon his body, Lord. Lord, we thank you for him, Lord. We glorify your name for him, Lord God. We thank you for a man that's after your own heart. And not to say that he's perfect, but Lord, we thank you for a man that has showed that he's made the choice to follow you until the very end. We praise you, Lord God. And help us to be able to get to that point, Lord, that we will continue to pursue you. And we will allow you to do whatever you have to do. That we will live right until the very end, where we can meet you in the air. Lord, we love you tonight. We glorify your name. We lift up your name on high. And we say thank you tonight. And we won't forget to give you the glory, the honor, and the praise. Because it all belongs to you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord God, for this day, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God, for every woman on this call, Lord God, and every woman, Lord God, that's not only part of Beulah Tabernacle, but Lord God, part of the body, Lord God. And Lord God, those that don't even know you, Lord God, I thank you, Lord God, hallelujah, for blessing us. I thank you, Lord God, for loving us. I thank you, Lord God, for your word. I thank you, Lord God, for keeping us. I thank you, Lord God, for you are God, hallelujah. And there is no other, Lord God. Lord God, we serve you, Lord God, and you are mighty, mighty, and you are big God, Lord God. You are holy, Lord God, and we bow down to you, Lord God, our Savior and our King, Lord Jesus. We thank you, Lord God, for sending us Jesus, hallelujah, that died for our sins, Lord God, hallelujah. Lord God, we thank you, Lord God, for making the crooked way straight, Lord God. Lord God, for keeping your women, Lord God, no matter what station we are in life, Lord God, you have kept us through the years, and you continue to keep us, Lord God, and we say thank you, Lord God. We say thank you, Lord God. We love and adore you, Lord God. We worship you, Lord God. We adore you. You are our Father, Lord God, and we are your children, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God, hallelujah, for peace, Lord God, which surpasses all understanding. We thank you, Lord God, for your love, Lord God, hallelujah, for dying on Calvary's cross, for setting us free, Lord God, from all guilt and condemnation, for setting us free from all sin, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God, because we have our advocate, Lord God, hallelujah, with you, Lord God. And we thank you, Lord Jesus, hallelujah. We thank you, Lord God, for Jesus, hallelujah, for, Lord God, just loving us unconditionally, Lord God, for making the way of escape, Lord God, for, Lord God, just keeping your daughters, Lord God. Lord God, you keep us on perfect peace, but because we keep our minds stayed on you, God, our minds, Lord God, our hearts, Lord God, our spirits, Lord God, our souls to stay focused on you, Lord God. For Lord God, in you there is peace, in you there is joy, in you there is love, hallelujah. And we thank you, Lord God, for your healing power manifesting in our lives, Lord God. We believe you, Lord God, no matter what, Lord God, comes our way, no matter what storm in life, Lord God, that we will hold on to you, Lord God, and not let go, Lord God, even when the wind blows, Lord God, and circumstances come, Lord God, that seem insurmountable, Lord God. Lord God, help us to look to you, Lord God, hallelujah, because Lord God, you guide us through those challenges, you guide us through those, Lord God, obstacles, and we thank you, Lord God, hallelujah, for just keeping us through the storms, Lord God. Lord God, let's help us to keep our focus on you, Lord God, that we will not, Lord God, fall or perish, Lord God. But Lord God, know that you are our anchor, Lord God. You are our keeper, Lord God. You are our strength and our joy. Lord God, every woman that is on this line, Lord God, touch their homes, Lord God. Touch their bodies, Lord God. Touch their minds, Lord God. Touch their spirits, Lord God. Touch their souls, Lord God, where they need healing, Lord God. I ask you to heal them, Lord God. And we believe you, Lord God, by faith to heal us, Lord God, for you are master, Lord God. You are the one that healeth us, Lord God. You, Lord God, know everything about us, Lord God, from the top of our heads to the bottom of our feet. You know, Lord God. You know, Lord God. So we give it all to you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Lord God, guide us, Lord God, once we give something to you, to keep it in your hands, Lord God, and not try to, Lord God, do our own thing, Lord God. Not to, Lord God, walk in self-sabotage, Lord God, but walk uprightly before you, trusting and believing, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God, for you are faithful and you have called your daughters, Lord God. You have called
called your men, Lord God. You have called your young people to be faithful, Lord God. Help us to be faithful unto you, Lord God. Hallelujah. And trust you with all things, Lord God. We place them in your hand, our master, our king, our redeemer. Hallelujah. You are our balm in Gilead, our bright morning star. And we believe you, Lord God, by faith. There's nothing too hard for you, Lord God, because we serve a mighty, mighty big God. Hallelujah. Lord God, there's nothing that the devil can bring to us, Lord God. Hallelujah. That you cannot, hallelujah, prevail over, Lord God. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah, for security. We thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah, for peace. We thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah, for joy. And Lord God, thank you, Lord God, for loving us unconditionally, Lord God. Oh, Lord God, it should be us, Lord God, that are in the grave going to hell. But Lord God, you make the way, hallelujah, of escape, Lord God. We believe you, Lord God, even right now, Lord God. We trust you, Lord God, with all of our being, Lord God. We love you, Lord God, with all of our being, Lord God. We love you and we keep in. I thank you, Father, for keeping us, Lord God, in perfect peace, Lord God. In the mighty name of Jesus, watch over your daughters, Lord God. We are yours, Lord God, and nothing or no one can separate us, Father, from the love of you, Lord God. In Jesus' name, have your way, Lord God.
Yeah, amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Lord God, we give you glory this very moment. Hallelujah. We thank you for dying on the cross for our sins. And thank you for hope beyond the grave, salvation so full and free. Lord God, we thank you for the opportunity to pray for the young. Hallelujah. Pray for our young people in the name of Jesus. For we were once young and someone prayed for us. Lord God, we come before you, Lord God, asking you to move on our young people. Continue to keep your hand upon their lives. Continue to draw them unto thee before it's everlasting too late, in the name of Jesus. Give them a thirst after righteousness, that they may know you, that they may know peace, in the name of Jesus. Lord God, those that are saved, we pray, Lord God, that thou will keep them saved. And those that are not saved, we pray, Lord God, that you will save them. Give them that thirst to seek you in your fullness, Lord God, that you may save them before it's everlasting too late. We thank you for all the new gen young people. We thank you for the leaders of new gen, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. We ask you, Lord God, to give us wisdom and knowledge, the supervisors, to guide them, in the name of Jesus, in these last and evil days, Lord God. Use us to your glory, Lord God. Hallelujah. That they may see the light and draw unto you before it's everlasting too late, Lord God. We thank you for each home that's represented here that have young people in it, Lord God. Move in a mighty way. Lord God, move on our young people. Lord God, in these last and evil days, continue to protect them, Lord God, from hurt, harm, and danger. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. For you know what young people are going through today. You know the pressures that they're dealing with, Lord God. But Lord God, give them a mind to want to do that which is right, Lord God. Hallelujah. In these last and evil days, Lord God, we thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. We bring our children before you, Lord God. We lay them on the altar in the name of Jesus, Lord God. You said if we ask you and not doubt in our heart, thou shalt bring it to pass. You said you would save, Lord God, our children's children. You said you would do it, and we believe that you will do it. Hallelujah. Bring the backsliders back to you, Father. Hallelujah. Before it's everlasting too late. You're married to the backsliders. Bring them back, Lord God. Hallelujah. The children of the world. Hallelujah. Bring them unto you, Lord God. You are the heavenly Father, Lord God, and we believe you to do what needs to be done in our children's life. Hallelujah. Heal those that are sick in the name of Jesus. Lord God, we thank you for healing those that were sick, Lord God. Let them remember that it was you that did it for them. Hallelujah, God. Hallelujah. You know whom they are. Hallelujah. And we praise you and we thank you for that, Lord God. We just thank you for the opportunity, Lord God, to call them before you. You know whom they are. You know where they are. You know what they stand in need of. Lord God, we love you and we glorify you for everything, Lord God. Everything we give you praise for. Hallelujah. We magnify your name. We lift you on high. We exalt thee and we thank you in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We pray, amen and amen. Hallelujah. Glory.
Father, in the matchless name of Jesus Christ, I thank you for tonight's lesson on your peace. I thank you, Father, that Christ has paid the price, the awful, awesome price, to deal with the sins of humanity. And he's taken away all those things that would rob us of our peace. I thank you that we have the benefit to accept what Christ has done, to repent of our sins, to follow along in Christian baptism in the water in the name of Jesus Christ, and to even go on to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit to seal the deal of what was done. Thank you that your word gives us the blueprint and the roadmap whereby we can apply the principles of life to ourselves. We can take it off the page, turn it into something more than a concept, turn it into something that's life transforming, turn it into power. We thank you. We can take the principles of your word and turn them into power for living. Hey, Shandaraba. Lord, tonight, you told us to take a breath. You told us to take it easy. You told us to walk in peace. And I thank you tonight, oh God, that your peace rules within our hearts. Lord, help us to apply the words that we've heard, the anointing, Lord God, that has come upon us even in teaching to destroy yokes. Someone is dealing with fear and anxiety. And we know that life is filled with experiences that cause people to be afraid. Fear hinders us from what drives us. Fear gets in the way of what is ordained for us. And we bind the spirit of fear. We come against the hindrances of your people. We bind that spirit of doubt and unbelief. And tonight, Lord God, we declare and decree no weapon formed against them shall prosper. We take this word and turn it into a weapon and bind the hands of the enemy. We come against every thought that tries to come against the knowledge of your word. We come against the emotions that would try to redirect our path. Lord God, we can have feelings and we can have emotions, but our confidence is in you. Our hope is in you. Our trust is in you. You are the constant no matter what changes. You are the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. It is because of your immutability. You declare, I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, the sons of Jacob are not consumed. And not only are the people of Israel blessed by your consistency, but so is the body of Christ. For even through Jesus Christ, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever, we have access to your peace. And because of that, we have courage. Hallelujah. We have courage to do the things that might make us afraid. We have strength to face pain, or to face adversity or even grief. Lord God, sometimes we feel that we may not be able to make it, but thank you that your grace is working right now. Your peace is working right now. And we can boldly declare we can do all things through Christ that gives us strength, strength to keep moving forward even when we're hurt. Move forward even when we are not sure or certain, strength to move on even though we may be wounded. But tonight, Lord God, I thank you. I speak to the strength. I speak to the warrior. I speak to the faith and to the fire within us. I speak to the overcomer. I speak to the conqueror. I speak to the one that's standing in the winner's circle. I speak to that man. I speak to that woman. I speak to that young person who's listening on this line. I speak over that family. I speak over that house where the enemy is trying to come in and destroy, that the Spirit of the Lord would lift up a standard. Magnify yourself before us, Lord, by the glory of your power. Help us to see you the way you really are. Help us to appreciate your presence and to understand that your presence is here to keep us, to secure us, and that your peace, the peace of God, is able to keep our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And so tonight, Lord God, I thank you for the breath that we take to be able to be at peace. I thank you for the truth that we can take care of ourselves. We can spend time in your presence to get the healing that we need. Oh, glory. We can spend time in your presence to get the antidote to anxiety that we need. We can spend time in your presence to get everything that we need for now, for tomorrow and for the days to follow. And so now, Lord God, I commend these precious hearts into your hands, thanking you for giving us your lesson, thanking you for giving us your word. Tonight, I speak this over their lives, to be careful for nothing, but in all things by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, to make our requests known unto you, and that your peace, the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep our hearts, shall secure, shall protect, shall preserve our hearts and minds through what Christ has done. And so tonight we think of your goodness and all that you've done for us, how that Christ died on Calvary to set us free. And we praise you, we praise you, we praise you, we praise you in the matchless name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now may the peace of God, the sweet fellowship of his Holy Spirit, rest, rule, and abide with you all in the matchless name of our Lord Jesus Christ. To God be the glory, in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, and amen. God bless you.